Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Yes, hello, we're back. It's us. Hello, episode 58. I just looked and I already forgot. 58. Literally 1 second ago looked and
we do this every single time. We just realized maybe 3 episodes ago that Dave actually like labels
the file.
The filing.
So we just need to look at the computer to figure out what the episode is.
Because we're like, is it 51? It's definitely higher than 50.
We're idiots. That's well documented.
We're the fashion hags. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
We're back for more talking about
more
stuff.
More tomfoolery.
Yes, that's a good word for it.
We're talking smack in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And screaming into the void.
We have someone to scream with us.
Yes, we have an extra person.
Yes.
There'll be a fourth voice.
There she is.
Hi. Hello. We have a photographer that Abby and I at least have worked with a handful of times here in Vancouver. Her name is Lauren Zabarski.
Yes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Super rad.
Thanks
lady.
For having me. You guys are also super rad.
Very.
Peeps. Up in here.
That's the only reason we brought you in here, just to tell us
compliments.
We are.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. So we recruited her and we're like, we got to get Lauren on. And we just happened to have time that worked out.
I don't know why you want me on. Like, what am I going to say? Am I going to say cool things?
Oh, my God. Yes.
I don't know.
It's true. You
not
will.
Convinced.
Time will tell.
Well, you know what? We have an hour and 30 minutes, 20 minutes to
And if
out.
you don't have anything cool to say, no one will listen to this episode. Okay. And we won't even publish it. So who cares?
Never existed. It's a dud.
We have a few duds that has never seen the light.
Oh, yeah, there's a few that never.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, never well, left let's the computer. Not. That
was like the first two.
The first three we ever did by ourselves, we were like, no.
Well, the first
was a good practice.
The second one, I think we were too drunk.
Yeah.
We had too many drinks.
It's too bad.
Honestly,
to back.
I think it's still one of the funniest ones.
Let's not prepared. That after.
Good. We should
have a little listening party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Anywho,
well, let's start with you, Evan. What do you got?
What's going on?
Eating a piece of chocolate.
Evan saves all his eating for 2 seconds before we eat.
Yeah.
He is wearing his coat and his hat and holding his bag on his lap.
On my lap, just like in that photo.
Like a bag lady.
Yeah. Just in case I need to make a quick escape.
yeah.
Well, we got to get content.
Oh, yeah.
Time for the content.
That's a good idea. Yes.
Yeah.
Content.
I've been really fucking busy.
Considering you're jobless.
Considering well. I don't know. Yeah, I'm an independent.
Yes, you are self-employed.
I'm independent. I'm self-employed. Yeah. So get it out of the frame.
Yeah.
My water bottle was in the frame.
I'm trying to get a picture.
The dance company I'm a part of just wrapped up a set of performances for the Talking Stick Festival, which was amazing just to be involved in that festival and be back in a theater. I love being in a theater. Just like
big time stuff.
It's big time. And like being in the wings and like
hanging out before and after
and like getting into costume.
Yes.
And yeah.
I used to manage a theater in Edmonton and it was like, I had all the keys to all the doors and everything. Ooh. And I felt very important when I had to go in and like do a check in the dressing room or like talk to the whoever.
Yeah.
It feels cool.
Guy.
Being in a theater and like seeing the backstage of a theater is like,
yeah.
Feels
it's a lot
like,
of moving parts.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It feels very, secret.
Yeah.
And special.
Like I love like, there's like this little the little machine that like goes out. It's like a forklift. Not a forklift, but it kind of like rises up so you can put the lights in.
Oh sure.
It was like so funny. I was to see the dudes, like the big tall beefy dudes just like going so slow on this little thing.
A cherry picker.
Yeah, and, like having like all these lights around them and everything. It's like, yeah, you better light me well.
Yes, please. That's your job.
Yeah. If there's one thing Evan knows, it's his own angles. So
I need to find my light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, it's been really, it was really fun for this performance because I got to choose what I got to wear.
Fun.
Oh, boy.
Which is very rare. Like usually we're in traditional outfits or contemporary outfits. Or
what are your traditional outfits? It's like a shirt and a vest and pants?
Yeah, it depends on like, How many people are performing.
Oh,
so like,
interesting.
Because if there's a full four people, then we kind of have to like separate all these things.
Okay.
And it kind of like looks weird if someone's only wearing a shirt and a sash and pants. And then
sure.
if someone else has like hat and vest and like all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and suspenders and whatever. So.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much flair.
Too much. So most of the time I just wear like this kind of pinstriped navy cotton collarless button up.
Yeah. Lovely.
Which is lovely. And like a traditional sash, not a contemporary one. The traditional ones are, the weaving is all done by hand and they're more historically accurate to the time that we're trying to.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
To bring
emulate.
Up, to emulate.
Yeah.
But the contemporary ones are very like flashy and like kind of Western inspired, which is just the way it is.
Sure.
For that. But cool. I got to wear one of my archival pieces, the Infinity Top, the mesh one.
Oh, the mesh with the cross?
With the cross.
Yes. Like
the Infinity symbol wrapped around the body.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Because like Métis dance on the whole is very like heteronormative. Like there's girls and
it's
guy
couples
partners.
And the girls wear a skirt and the guys wear pants.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So like I got to wear like
as in
yeah.
By which I mean
like
the
traditional
the coupling.
Reels, the yeah. couple, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. the couple centric yeah. kind yeah. of like formulate how the way you formulate the dances. But I got to wear what I wanted, so I wore like high waisted fitted denims, my mesh top, lots of makeup, like a
amazing.
Full brow.
Amazing.
Yeah, had Brows. A little in Digifem moment.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Were you the only one who like stepped up your game? I hope everyone did.
Yeah, I think I did. I was the only one. I think I stuck out a little bit. Everyone else was in like t-shirts and jeans, and I was like, I'm going to wear jeans, but I'm
Fish,
not
going to
wear a
Come
t-shirt.
On.
No. But we had a costume change for the final act of the show, so we all put on like L'Oreal t-shirts. It was just like a face,
cool.
like L'Oreal's, like a relief print of his face, which was
get real,
kind of cool. Yeah,
good one, Abby. It's a very old joke. I've been saying it for a long time.
Yeah,
can't help myself. I'm sure we've made that joke already.
Oh, being
sure.
a dancer, being an actor,
a performer. Dancing
on the
for
stage, life. Collecting my checks. Yeah.
Using the masses. Yes.
Hitting my light.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You got to do like a festival and something different.
Yeah.
And
there was a lot of jumping though, so my back is all fucked up. But now I have money to go and see it.
Maybe do something about it. Yeah,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice.
It's perfect. Yeah. What about you, Abby?
Awesome. I got the opportunity through my delightful father-in-law with my two sisters-in-law to go listen to Michelle Obama speak.
Oh, yeah.
So jealous. I've been like actively not asking you about this because I'm like, I'm sure we're going to talk about it in the podcast. So just don't even, just wait for the stories. She came in through the Board of Trade here in Vancouver and it was an organized speaking engagement for her. She's been doing them all over the place, but it was through the Board of Trade. So it was very like, business centric, like for business owners and corporations.
Very
and
Vancouver-y.
All super yeah. and just like yeah. self-promotion big time. So that was kind of icky. But what do you do?
Whatever.
Oh, well. But
they're going to not go see Michelle?
And then also not pay.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, John. But I just got my sisters-in-law who are very wonderful, wonderful people. I enjoy their company very much. That was great too. And so we went and there had been another engagement earlier in the day with a bunch of high school students.
I heard about this.
Yeah. And their mentors too. Like it was half grown ups who would part of this leadership program that the Board of Trade operates through the high schools. And I think even maybe some post-secondary institutions, I forget, but young people trying to promote them and help them become leaders and successful and yada, 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 all that good stuff. And apparently that was like amazing. And then like they blew mm-hmm. the roof off and it was just an amazing thing. And then the later one was just all grown ups essentially. And like 90% women, of course,
mm-hmm. because yeah.
And but it was also great. It was nice to see a bunch of guys there too. But I am not a business owner. And my sister-in-law, I guess my sister-in-law, she makes cakes. Like she's a creative top person. And my other sister-in-law works in PR. And charity work. So a lot of it didn't really necessarily apply to us specifically. And like the lady who was the moderator was like the head of a bank. So I'm like, she did a decent job, but I'm like, I have no, there's no crossover.
What do I know about? More like focused on commerce or entrepreneurial?
Entrepreneurial stuff, leadership.
Yeah. Okay.
Promoting success in younger people.
That's really good.
So it was, it just didn't necessarily apply to me in my life right now.
Yeah, true.
But she is one of the most amazingly charismatic, warm, compassionate, interesting people I've, and I, we were like nosebleed seats. We were
She's like second to black.
You can't take her. And she wasn't speaking. She was talking, which was really nice. Cause then we had a couple people come up first and they like stood at a podium and had like a little prepared thing and they had a little video cue and blah, 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 blah. And it was very like the chancellor of what university came over and blah, blah, you know, did very like formulaic stuff. And then she came out, she's like waving. She had this awesome dress on, of course. She looked like a million bucks. She just sat on like this chair and just like really relaxed, like just held her microphone like in a super, like just rested it on the arm and just so cool and chill.
She's so cool.
And just like,
God damn.
And I don't know if there must have, there obviously is some level of preparation to it beforehand. They didn't go in and just like ask her whatever. Yeah. But it did not seem prepared or like formulaic or anything like that too. Like she was just talking to us and making jokes and talking, talking shit.
Well, she has had a bit of experience.
She's had a bit of experience, yeah. And she did make a big point of talking about how she would like to see the change she was going to make in the world will be when she is not a politician.
Interesting.
And she specifically said she will never be a politician because she feels like she cannot do what she needs to do
if she has a politician.
If she has a little letter attached to her name, a D or an R or whatever, right?
Right.
So if she has to choose a side, just the way American politics works, you have to be one or the other. If you want to get anything done, you can't be an independent or a green or whatever. It's not going to work. So she just said the stuff that she would like to make and like how she chose the issues that were important to her, like health and or some of the other ones. No, I'm totally blanking on it.
She just cares about health. That's really important. So.
But she was talking about how she, you have to be strategic with how you want to make your change in the world. And you have to, she decided she'd like just pick a few things and go really deep as opposed to try to do a bunch, only a little bit, which was pretty, pretty insightful.
I think that makes sense. Like,
you know,
it's like
when you're at that level.
Thing, yeah. Do one thing and do it really well rather than.
This is great, and this is great, and this is great, and this is great.
I agree.
And she's like, and you can't make yourself feel bad for focusing. Like, just because I'm focused on climate change doesn't mean the other problems are less important. It just means this is the one that I've chosen for whatever reason, for personal reasons, for intellectual reasons, for whatever it is, right? So that was pretty interesting. And it was just fun to hear her talk and just be in the same room as her. Like,
where
that was
it?
Enough. At the Queen Elizabeth Theater. So like a big like theater where you see like ballet and a bunch of other stuff. So a very traditional theater.
Was she well lit?
She was
well lit. How was the lighting?
She looked like a million bucks. Absolutely.
I think you could put her in a dark room and she would still be, you
put a sock on her
radiant.
Head and be fine. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
She's a classy lady.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely classy. And like just and you just get the vibe that she's always been like that. Like it's not something she has attained because she is I don't even know how old she is, probably in her 50s probably.
Whoa. She looks good.
But she looks like amazing, she's not just like she's not a culmination of all of like she's always been
like that.
This spirit and this giving and this, you know, just reaching outside of herself and just wanting to help people, which is not what a lot of people are doing in America these days. No need to get into that. But she made some like little aside. She was like, you know, you don't need to tweet everything you think. She's like, she was talking about how kids can navigate social media and use it for empowerment and not for negative things, right? And she said, don't read the comments, which is great advice.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And she said, just, you know, don't tweet everything you
that you think of. Yeah.
Just spill it all over the place. And then she kind of like did like a wink. It was pretty great. So it was good.
Awesome.
Leaving with a message of hope. Like she kept saying there's more good in the world than there is bad. You only ever hear about the bad. But just know that more people want to do good than bad.
Cool.
Which was nice.
That's a nice reminder.
But then on the other hand, I felt super shitty that I needed reminding of that. You know? Yeah.
Well, it was also 2 days after another school shooting.
Super giant. So, yeah. So
that's been dominating. It was,
I was like, yes, because like the note she wanted to leave him was a message of hope and positivity, and you can be the change you see in the world, you want to see in the world, and all that good stuff. But then afterwards, I was like, oh, we're such a shitty place right now. We need to have Michelle Obama to remind us to be nice to each other and don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
So it was bittersweet. I appreciate it, but yeah.
Why is it like this?
Yeah. Why don't we be reminded?
Why you don't work so hard?
Yeah. Anyway, it was lovely.
That's awesome. I'm jealous.
And she did. She was perfection. Just perfection.
Cool.
Not that you'd expect anything less.
It's cool to sit in a room full of ladies and be like, yeah, like,
oh, and she was like reading men the Riot Act too. Like one of the questions was, how much do you think men have a role in getting rid of sexism and misogyny and all this stuff? And she's like, you better step up.
So true.
Like, you can't say you want your daughter to be whatever she wants and then go and work in an environment where that does not apply.
Yeah.
Where you treat people like shit and the pay gap.
Or you ignore and, other people treating them
like
shit.
Yeah, or you sit there and you let it happen around you and you don't try to,
I think
to
change that workspace. That's the biggest problem in a lot of cases. Yes.
There's that strange disconnect between using those words to be like, yeah, women can do whatever they want and they deserve it and equality, but then going to a work.
And just like not doing
it. And just not doing it and not living it and living and just letting it happen around you.
Or just like, yeah, maybe seeing something, like maybe you're not doing anything, but then you see something or you hear something and you just, you're like, oh, well, you're content because you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, right.
You're not really affect me. Standing up.
Yeah.
For things around you. I think that's.
And then that's the workplace problem. That your kids are going to go to in 15, 20 years or whatever, how old your kids are. Like, that's. Mm-hmm. If you don't do anything about it now. Because they were talking about the pay gap, too, and how, at least in Canada, I think it's longer in the States, but at the current rate now, it will take 78 years for women to gain pay equity.
Why?
Going at this rate.
That's like assuming that it's not going to drop off.
Yes.
This momentum will get worse.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's over 100 years in the States. It's 78 years in Canada.
Jesus.
So she's like, you need to, like, you can't expect your kids to go and be and make those changes. It's too late. You're adding 20 years to that 78 years because they you know, just what are we talking about?
Because they're already got set back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're waiting for your kid to
gotta
be in a place.
Up.
Yeah. You got to get going.
Yeah, TikTok.
Oh, man. Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah, you hear that, men? Mm-hmm. The four men who listen to this podcast, it's time to step up.
If you see my something, dad, say something.
I'm going to make my boyfriend dad, listen to it, so there'll be five.
Yes,
men.
They'll be five. Yeah. My dad and your dad and Dave, when he listens to it, he doesn't even really listen to it. He just like listens just for like sound quality.
But I think you're. I think
whenever
Dave
I break the
has,
chocolate bar.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still mad about that. No, I think Dave probably has his, you know, figurative fist in the air.
Yes, he does.
My husband
needs some knuckle wrapping every once in a while and some things that creep up because it's so fucking pervasive.
Yeah.
You say shit and you're like, oh, really?
Every once in a while, you got to like give him a little side eye. I find that, not to Dave, not this has been my experience with Dave, but like guy friends, you have to be like,
come on, bud.
Well, I already have this like, this flag that I'm always waving, which I'm happy to wave, but I'm the loud feminist.
Yeah,
usually
calling people on
in the group. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'll wear.
You're
that
secure
t-shirt.
In the knowledge that you are right.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of my friends feel the same way. They just don't talk about it as loudly as I do.
Yes, or and you do things you don't realize that that's what that is.
Yeah. So when that happens, I'm like, well, I'll wear this flag. And you can be mad at me for embarrassing you in front of your friends or whatever, but I don't
get over it.
Well, that needs because to happen. You're right and I'm right. You just don't want to say it. So guess what? You're a feminist too. Bye. Anyway,
man.
Let's solve that.
Let's do it.
Figure out how to solve that.
Let's do it.
We got about an hour.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Now that you've got Katie, you got something other than. Calling men on their shit.
You
got it.
I have had two things that I've been doing. One of them, you guys asked me what I did this weekend. I didn't want to say it because
you're saving for the podcast.
I'm saving for the podcast.
Yep.
I finally got to see iTanya. We went to see I, Tonya. Nice. Have you guys seen it? Has anyone seen it?
I have.
He has.
Of course.
It is so good. I love Allison Janney so much. She is so amazing.
She's a monster. Yeah.
She, the character she plays is a fucking monster. This movie is so good. And Tonya Harding, we all owe Tonya Harding a huge apology for the way
all
that
the
all of us have treated her. She's like so misunderstood. She's like this poor kind of white trash kind of girl who had no business being as talented as she was and as driven and as
accomplished.
Yeah. She
was, everything was stacked against her.
Everything was stacked against her, and she didn't fit this like pretty girl mold. So she didn't excel in this pretty girl sport in the way that pretty girls are supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
She had to work 10 times harder than everyone else. She fell in love with a piece of shit human garbage who I did not realize.
That's the
worst
when people do that.
I know, it breaks my heart.
So many people do that.
But I didn't
realize
this. But
by the time they realize it,
she got her ass kicked by her boyfriend, then husband, for the entire time they were together.
Oh,
I didn't know that. I had no idea. I don't want to ruin any more of the story because it is so fucking good. And as a like a little kid skater, we know how it ends.
Yeah, and this was a big deal when we were kids. Like this
was
story
a big
was
deal.
Big, and like being a girl, you were into figure skating. And
I was.
Did figure skating.
It was 95. No, it was 90. The 94 Olympics in Lillehammer.
Oh,
it was when the 92 Olympics.
I was a little young.
Yeah, so was Evan, but he somehow caught up.
Yeah, he was 1 year old.
I skated in 93, 94.
No,
I
was 6 in 94.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But I it's just really good.
Sweet.
And Margot Robbie is amazing. She's actually so great. Like,
excellent. I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah. Really, really, really good. And then other than that, it's Olympics time.
Yes.
Which I always really like the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the only time I ever really wish I had cable because I always get super wrapped up in like the commercials make me cry every single time. The kid on the scale crying and falling and her mom just sticking by her and you like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Like I kill you every single time, just wiping tears. My husband
rolls his eyes.
All the
whatever Cheerio and Visa commercials.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But last night was the short program for the ice dance.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet, but I've watched all of the highlights.
Other stuff.
So, spoiler alert.
So I know what happens.
Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer.
Earn first.
Dominate.
Their biggest like rivals was this French team, and this poor woman in the French team who's like, it's like the
this.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Their team and the French team have got first or second in every international competition they've competed in since 2015. So they're like
They're up there.
So this French girl, I don't know why she made this choice, but she wore a suit it was a like a backless open suit and it had a closure around the back of her neck.
A halter or something or whatever.
But it didn't have like a mesh back. It wasn't like a salt. Like most of those suits, if it looks like it's super low cut, it's just a colored thing that's
flesh
a flesh tone.
Flesh mesh.
Yeah. excuse me. So she had this backless suit on, but it didn't have anything on the back. There was no fabric. There was a clip at the back, and it flew off. It snapped open halfway through her performance.
Lord,
Can you imagine?
What happened?
Well, she had, like, little sleeves, so it stayed mostly up. But at the very end,
she's doing
nip slip completely out a couple of times.
I saw the CBC had
apology
for showing it.
Oh, give me a break. It's just a nipple. Everyone has two. Who cares? Anyway, we're like, she's French. Nobody cares.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I couldn't believe it. I was like, you are like an international level competitor.
You
like,
were the top
put
of the
back.
Pyramid.
Yeah. Oh, like I felt so bad.
There are 3-inch long zippers.
Maybe that was her plan.
Maybe.
Seriously.
Can you imagine how distracting that would be?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Maybe the judges liked it. Maybe it was her plan all along.
Maybe. But she didn't win, so.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But they now are going into the long program is tonight. It starts in like an hour. and I'm going to go.
I like how you know that.
Yeah, hey, she's on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
1 hour, this.
I'm interested in like a few, like the curling. I wish I could have seen more of the curling because that level
it's
of curling
fun to watch.
Is like pretty fun to watch.
Okay, what?
It is fun to watch.
I honestly don't
understand people that think curling, like, how is it interesting? I just don't know how it works.
It is so
It just
hard.
Looks a little bit boring.
It looks crazy.
I'm sorry.
Have you ever tried
There's
curling?
A lot of, like, anticipation, and you're like, is it going to happen?
And it's
happen?
The stone
and then it
moving
it, and
down
then it
the
does.
Ice really slowly.
I am so not a sporty person or interested in sports at all, but curling is actually pretty interesting to
watch. It's something I can completely understand.
Yeah. Okay. I would never want to do it. Or maybe like once just to like try it.
You like it.
It's so fun.
I can tell.
It is like
super
eyes are low
like,
impact.
Shimmering.
I don't know. I mean, you can attest to this. A small town Canada, everyone has an ice rink.
Oh, yeah.
A curling rink. Everyone's mom or auntie plays.
All of my aunts and my mom played for years.
My sister just got back from like a riotous Bonspiel, like costumes, the whole fucking shebang. Everyone's plastered and
having a blast.
And curling is way harder than it looks.
I've heard
it's
that.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun like afternoon.
My arms get tired vacuuming for a minute.
That's true.
And I'm not even like I'm moving around a vacuum.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there's
some good stuff.
I just feel like I would bail on the ice.
You have like 1 foot that's little... slippy and 1 foot that grips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I still
Oh, interesting.
Fall, for sure.
Is that why they're always like sliding
pushing
on one
with the
foot
same
and
foot.
Pushing with the other foot?
Yeah.
Because once you're pushing it, once we're sliding.
Mm.
It's fun. I mean, it's probably
she
not
wants
for
to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, you for sure. To represent women.
She wants to do
curling.
Ski ballet. She wants to do figure skating.
Yeah.
She wants to do curling.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do it all. Actually, I wanted to.
A Winter Olympics triathlete.
Be a nice dancer.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
Triathlete. But the other one that I want to pay attention to is the women's ice hockey.
What about women's snowboarding?
Yeah. That's
That's like the only thing I watched because I was at my parents' when it was on at the beginning of the Olympics.
Yeah.
It just looks so cool. They look like they're just floating in space.
I know. It is insane.
Unbelievable. And they make it look so easy.
Their goggles and they have those two pieces of hair.
Yeah.
Fascinated by that. I was like, everyone just has, it's like a style thing.
Yeah.
They need to have their two pieces of hair sticking out of like their goggles
and like
their
the helmet
scarf.
And everything. Yeah.
So cool. Yeah. I love it.
I forget where this came from, but there was a tweet like last Olympics or two Olympics, whatever it was, but it was like for every sport there should be just a regular dude to show you how like actually crazy this is that it is like so like having like a regular dude throw a curling rock, half them would never
wouldn't
make
even,
it to
yeah,
the end
right. wouldn't even make and they go like, right. like yeah it bounce off the
like
side.
Forget it and the ice skating like
oh my god!
Attempt to do attempt a toe to, loop and you just land on your ass.
Wait, even like
chair
do a circle
around the
and
ice.
Just
seriously
shift
yeah.
edges.
Shift your edges, yeah.
Yeah, I would really like to see that. I think that would be hilarious.
Be a little reality check.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be good.
Anyway, so I've been watching a bunch of that.
Fun.
It's been a good time. There's always just
I feel like it's all
feel.
Consuming, right?
It really is.
It's kind of always on.
Yeah,
it's like
not
on
stop.
Or,
yeah. If I did have cable. I
so where do you what you
house.
Just stream it?
You can stream it on cbc.ca. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that's
for
not a sponsorship,
America,
by the
I don't
way,
know.
CBC.
We'll take the money.
Yeah,
money.
Yeah, if you want to slide us a little. Something.
They don't have a lot of money to go.
No.
Anyway, that's and then, me.
They're not hurting for Olympic coverage either. I think. Mm-hmm.
No, I think they're doing all right.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I'll be doing today when we go home. Is watching the final.
More Olympics. Beautiful.
So good.
Awesome. Fun.
What's new with you, Lauren? What's going on? Let's shift over to your end of the table.
Things. Spring is around the corner.
Oh, it's so close.
Hopefully, right?
Here's hope. It's supposed to be really cold for a little while now, and then get the fuck out of here.
I'm just happy we're like on our way to spring.
Yes, there's buds on the trees.
Summer, too.
Yes.
And everyone
flowers.
Yeah. Listening to this in Alberta. Sorry.
So I'm just like really excited to be coming out of winter because it's the worst for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I have a bunch of kind of fun and pretty creative projects coming up.
We're doing a project with you in a couple of weeks. Abby and I are, anyways.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Weeks? Stuff. Couple of weeks?
A few months. I guess a couple of months.
I'm like,
a few weeks.
Wait a second.
A few weeks.
I'm like, not ready.
Yeah, no, no. We got a bunch of time.
Yeah. So I've been in the studio a bunch and will continue to be doing some kind of different stuff. And I shoot mostly portraits and fashion. And I'm starting to do more studio still life, kind of creative, wacky, weird stuff for some different and new clients. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does it work for you where, like, do you have people come to you or do you put it out to other people? Like, how do you get your clients usually?
It's kind of mostly word of mouth, and Vancouver is a pretty small place for, because I work within the realm of like design and like whether it be fashion or interior, or I worked with a metal fabricator designer on the weekend. And so it's kind of like, word of mouth, or someone saw my pictures for that project, and then I reach out to people that I just really want to work with and tell them I like their stuff, and like sometimes
you hear back.
Sometimes it works. Most of the time it works, and that's kind of what happens. Yeah.
How long have you been doing it? Like, did you come out of school and were like, that's what I'm going to do? Or is it like, I bought a camera and fell in love with it? Or like, how did you get
to it? I was studying sociology. I did a sociology degree right out of high school. Because, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
I did an English degree.
Like, well, there are a couple of degrees in here. No. Yeah.
No. I like to think,
it influences the way I think. It really does.
And it was a great experience. But my last semester, I took an art photography course because I was like, easy credit. Woo, super fun. And then, like, my whole world was rocked.
Oh,
and I was just
wow.
Whoa, I was hit by a bus. Like, what is happening in life? What is this photography thing?
Tell me
who
more.
Is Annie Leibovitz? Like, ooh. So, that's kind of when I realized that's what I want to do. And everyone was like, and I just kind of went around and started telling all my friends, like, I'm going to be a photographer. And they're like, that's a really good hobby.
Good for you.
You should think about your, like, real future. Yeah. And now it's like, bitches. So, but that's what happened. I just kind of, like, literally was hit with this. And, it's not just like, okay, I bought a camera and then I just started, like, shooting everything I wanted to. That's like, it's been a long road of doing lots of different weird things and some really, like, not fun things. But that was like six, seven years ago. Yeah. 7 years ago. Nice. Maybe 8 even. Yeah.
Wow. Well, sweet. You just found your path through trying different things and
and like
meeting different people, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
Kind of. Yeah.
Life in general.
Yeah. And it's like definitely not being all glamorous.
Yeah.
Like most of it's not glamorous, but then.
Surprise, surprise.
But but it's, but there's definitely been a lot of fun projects that I've been able to be involved with, and I feel like I'm pretty lucky, but I also know that I'm like relentless and I won't be able to sleep or like live my life unless I kind of go crazy on it, you know.
I tend to
stress myself out a lot
Well, that's what happens when you work hard and you set high standards for yourself
And you find something you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too. It's like,
it's like, there's no choice. Like, I just have to do
this. This is what I got to do, and I'm not going to do it shitty. Like, I'm going to do it well.
No. It's never good enough, though. Like, I'll do something, and I'll just be like, oh.
Yeah. I know it's like that in other fields, but those creative,
But it's good. You can't really think that, oh, yeah, like, this is perfect.
Now I've
like,
done
I wouldn't
it.
Change anything about this project, because then you're just going to keep doing that same thing.
Yeah, and then where are you?
Images aren't going to get any different or better. So it's good to, I guess, be critical, but not drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or,
that's the balance.
Or stagnate too, right? Or you're just like
no,
plateau.
No.
Because I'm sure there's enough jobs where you can just like take pictures of stuff and cash the check. And
then really unfulfilling.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you, like, looking back on your sort of education and your, you know, be it formal or otherwise, that, like, really changed your way of thinking about photography or, like, how to achieve a good picture or how to achieve success as a photographer? Is there anything that, like, stands out? Like, I remember when we were in school thinking about, we took a class called Color and Design, and it's, I'm sure I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but our instructor was talking about color and light and how connected those two things are. And, like, this, like, light went off for me. It was like, I'll never forget this moment. It was like sort of an epiphany, but it was like, oh, she's like, you can't have color without light. Like, you can have
light is everything.
Light is everything. Yeah. So that was like the moment for me. I was like, oh shit, that applies to
everything
across the board.
Yeah.
Was there anything like that? Like, I mean, photography is all light. I think it happens. Light.
Yeah. Photography and life is all light. Because you can't see anything without light.
Yeah.
Literally, it's just dark.
It's nothing, just dark.
Nothingness. Yeah. Side note, I don't know, this is a really random thing that I don't actually tell anyone, but it's not, I don't know, it's not that exciting. I'm just kind of like, my parents, so I'm Jewish and my Hebrew name is Leora, and it means my light.
No way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Funny. There was a time when I connected that and I was like,
wow.
Oh, that's kind of
that's sort of an epiphany.
That fits together nicely.
That's
not,
yeah, that's not, that wasn't really one of those, no, those moments you were talking about. But
it is kind of. Note, yeah.
I think I have those moments all the time where I just think about things differently. And I'll be like, oh, like even just having a conversation with someone or seeing, like, it can be really minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
Or like films or looking at paintings, or if I'm really, like, visually, if I'm really starting to get into an era and I'll just be looking at, I don't know, like 70s, like film stills, like I'll start thinking about things in a different way. And I don't know, I think they happen all the time.
Especially in a creative field.
When you're constantly looking for inspiration and then finding it not on purpose, like accidentally.
That's
as
the
well,
best,
right?
I think. I struggle with, like,
you can get at it, but then you can also have to let it find you, right?
I think, I don't know. I know some people are like, you have to really look for inspiration. You can't just, you know, stand by and let it happen to you. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I personally don't find inspiration if I'm like,
doing
putting
intense
on,
research.
Yeah.
Or if I'm like, I'm going to go. Until you find something.
Yeah. Like, or like, I'm going to go for a walk and like be inspired by the sunshine today. Like, that just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So
then what?
I go through phases where I'm inspired and like very much not inspired.
Sure.
But there'll be little moments in, like, even if I'm not inspired, like a certain week, there'll be moments in a day where something will just like catch my eye and I'll just have to like grab onto those little moments. Like, it's not it's not always like, oh my gosh, like this summer I was so inspired. It doesn't happen always like that, but it does sometimes.
Despite what Instagram tells you.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen like that.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Like, I remember sorry, you go ahead.
Yeah, it's like I often find, like, when I'm really trying to find inspiration, those like points and those points of reference kind of influence the work in a different way than when something kind of finds me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
it
if something
so
finds
naturally.
Me, it's more, it feels more.
You move differently
you
within
move
it,
differently
you know?
Within it, and the work feels more personal and.
Yeah. Totally.
I have the word on the tip of my tongue. If you're playing the Fashion Hags drinking game, you need to drink right now because I can't find the word.
It's like authentic
exactly. It feels more authentic. And then when I'm trying to piece together all
just
these
like
things that are just
copying and changing
pretty,
something that already exists.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, it just feels like I'm like putting everything in a pot and rehashing it, you know?
Right. See what comes out.
Yeah. But if something kind of finds me and it's like, oh shit, like having that, I never thought about it. Something like that before. Then you can kind of go in a different direction that's wholly your own instead of kind of taking anyone else's opinion about any given thing.
For whatever.
Yeah. And you can see that too. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
And I think the word inspiration gets thrown around
a lot.
Inspo. Oh.
Instagram culture.
Hashtag inspo.
Hashtag inspo.
I'm so inspired by Kale. Whatever.
Inspired living. Like,
well, it's pretty cool.
By the Valencia filter on my Instagram.
It's like you say, when you find something, it doesn't have to be something big.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be something momentous, but it can, as you say, shift.
It can be lasting.
Your way of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you try something, then...
And influential.
That it works based on those choices or based on whatever sure. it is that affects
you. You find something that works like 30% and you're like, okay, no, I can do this.
And you and then build you
go
on
go
it.
Again and again. Yeah. You get up to whatever level you desire.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 150% for a lot of creative people. You always strive for more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I've learned in the last little while doing photo shoots and editorial shoots and e-commerce shoots is how much prep work goes in before you go into the studio.
Yes, and then all the after stuff too.
It takes so much work to, even on Instagram.
But isn't photography just like clicking the button?
Yeah, you just point and shoot, right?
Point and shoot, right?
You can have a light, I guess.
You usually have a light.
Or two.
Or but do you 20? Even need one? Because I've got this really great filter. Just pull up the brightness on it.
Yeah, there you go. Crank it.
Oh, it's fine. But I mean, like, when we talk about doing an editorial shoot or even doing an e-com shoot, like, you have to go in and look.
It's literally like front, side, back, front, side, back, front, side,
yeah,
back.
Yeah, but it's like emails, booking,
studio time,
painting the floor.
Painting it. Yeah. It's going through poses that you like and that you don't like so that you can talk to the model about what it is exactly that you're after. And they are opposite things sometimes when it goes from an e-com shoot to an editorial, which we've done.
Yeah, you have to switch gears.
Completely.
And switch vibes. And I find that I am able to do that more with different cameras.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of like, for me, when I...
I dropped my notebook.
Okay, Catherine.
It's fine down there.
When I get dressed sometimes, like if I'm feeling a certain way, I'll like get dressed a certain way because I'll want to channel that vibe and really like get into it. And so I kind of feel that way about cameras too. Like it changes everything. It makes me feel different. It makes me see things different when I'm holding different cameras.
Awesome. That's cool.
So...
I never thought about that.
Of course.
But it never occurred to me, but it makes so much sense.
It would be like
different fabrics.
Different fabric. Yeah. Different pair of scissors.
Well, yeah. Think about it. I compare it to what your outfit is. You know when you go to like something really formal?
Yep.
You're wearing something
you put that on.
Yeah.
Right?
And you kind of like stand differently and you might like talk about different things without even realizing it. It's not like you're even like conscious about those things, but because it's like a vibe that's just surrounding you. So
yeah,
I don't know.
That makes such perfect sense.
It's like, yeah.
And it's, it must be interesting or frustrating or both to find that, right? Because I'm sure it's not something you would necessarily stumble upon. Like, I'm sure it's a lot of trial and error and trying it out and doing it again and again and again and again. And
And then just finding your groove and you're like, okay, like this camera is my work camera.
Right.
This camera is like my portrait camera. And this is my, I don't know, like landscape camera. Sure. And lots of photographers have different lenses.
I was going to say.
And they just like lenses, pop them on and off. And I'm like, okay, I have 6 cameras for my trip. Like, hi. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, Lauren, like, you're ridiculous. You're bringing 6 cameras. Like, no, but I have to.
Hey, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Is there someone that, like you mentioned, Annie Leibovitz, like, who's Annie Leibovitz? Is there someone that when you first started out that you were like, that's someone I want to emulate, or
Annie Leibovitz.
Annie Leibovitz, that's the one.
Well, like, kind She's of. I don't know. She queen. Was just like, I think our professor introduced us to her as like one of the like key players in contemporary photography. Mm-hmm. So, and her work is quite iconic, and like we've all like, it's kind of one of those things where like I didn't know anything about photography, but I've seen every so issue of Vanity Fair because yeah. my mom literally had a subscription from the time I was born until like still have, it's like still going.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm learning about this person that I've seen, like I've seen her pictures my whole life.
Yeah.
And she's, and just like having a lot of admiration for like her getting to where she is. And so I think like she was actually my first kind of role model in right. photography. But obviously I've had many since.
Yeah.
So, sorry, your question was who...
Yeah, is there anyone that sort of, that you wanted to sort of strive or emulate towards?
I really,
that?
Really like the work of a couple really strong female photographers in the fashion game right now, which is like Harley Weir. I don't know if anyone knows her.
No.
I don't know her,
but I'm
she
open.
She photographs a lot of like empowered, sexually empowered females. And there's a lot of, like, sexual undertones, not so undertone, in her work. But it's always done so thoughtfully and intentionally.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's done some... We were talking about Balenciaga before.
Yes.
She's done a couple of campaigns. And also Charlotte Wales.
Okay.
Out of New York. And Zoe Gertner. I don't know. They're all, like, fashion photographers.
Yeah.
But, like, not, like, fashion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of art,
right.
fashion, editorial.
There's no one hat that you wear.
Yeah, anymore. I don't yeah. know. I just like, when I look at a photographer, I like to see how they're able to photograph anything and, like, have their stamp on it.
Right.
Whether it's, like, a landscape or a person or something for fashion or a still life or a personal project. Like, it, I like to see that consistency.
Like, an Annie, you can tell an Annie yeah. Leibovitz photo looks like an Annie Leibovitz photo.
Yeah, and then yeah. there's something, and then I'm usually really attracted to something about that photographer. And I usually can't really, like, say it in words, but I'm yeah. just, like, I just, like, what they do.
Yeah. Yes.
No one can see my hand. Yeah. Yes.
For the listener at home.
It's like she's a wash wiping on, a dish off. Yeah.
yeah. Wax on, wax off. Yeah.
Just yeah. judge. Yes. Judge yes. things around. Yeah. Judge is a word that we get. We get
that. That reference we get.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But is I do there... really like a lot of male photographers, just for the yeah. record. I just find that right now there's
to.
A lot of, or not a lot, there's like, some key female photographers in the fashion commercial world on a global scale that are doing really important work, even if it is like fashion commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
that's
kind
where
of
the
like
work is a lot of the time,
and
but
that's
they're
the
kind
work
of like
visible to a lot of people.
Important things.
Yeah.
They're not just making pretty pictures. That's yeah. that's what I like about them. They're not just you
they're
know,
using it as a platform. They're not putting a model in front of a gray background. Hopping.
And then getting yeah. her to jump. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Which we yeah. see a lot.
Which we see a lot. And doesn't mean anything. And is just reinforces the idea that fashion is superficial.
Peter Lindbergh and Tawny Goodman.
Yes. Make it pretty, but.
The last 15
they
years.
They ain't nothing to it. But make it pretty. Nothing to it. Yeah. But it's yeah. interesting to be able to see. And we talked about this. We're talking about this. Maybe I forget what episode we were talking about. How we don't know. I guess, but this is timely that we have you on. We don't know the current photographers that are working. Maybe it was a photography episode where we talked about
been.
Photographers.
I could talk about it for a very long time.
Yeah.
I bet.
Could, like how we could, we're so disconnected yeah. now between what's going on. And like, I don't know anybody contemporary, anybody going, doing things now because I was so turned off from it for so long because it was a boys club. And right. as we're learning now, we're a bunch of pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all coming up. So I'm happy to see that people, like the people you're mentioning, which we will link to, and I'm definitely looking up after, are taking up space.
Oh, yeah. In a big way.
In a big way and an important
is,
way
they,
and a progressive way.
Yes.
And a loud way.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yeah. And the thing
we
is.
We need it.
Yeah.
Desperate. We need
sure.
it in fashion. We need it in society. We need it across the board.
Yeah.
That's very exciting stuff to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you find them? Like, where, what sort of resources do you have that you
Like, well, there's this thing on my phone called Instagram.
As we just
said. So obviously, I mean, obviously that's a major platform where I find photographers, but also just talking with other creatives, mm-hmm. Like other photographers, but also a lot of art directors.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're
sure,
really well-versed on,
them.
That,
yeah,
on that kind of stuff. So, yeah, art directors, photographers, stylists, models, friends that are into fashion or right. work in fashion in some capacity. And, yeah, I kind of feel like it's my job also to know about them.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I tend to...
You put the effort in,
read,
right?
Read blogs and talk to people. And,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, to know what you're talking about. Makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah, and read magazines. Mm-hmm. Like, real magazines that are printed.
Even what? Just What do you mean?
I know. Even Sorry. Just huh? to go into Chapters or, you know, any, like, local kind of bookstore newsstands that have, you know, more... Not more like alternative or international fashion magazines and just look through and I don't know.
Those are getting harder to come by though. Those like
you,
oh.
you all have your spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. For
you
sure.
see that great spot on Broadway.
Yes, in Granville.
Yeah,
oh.
near my house. Yeah, I know.
Clothes, so sad.
Mayfair News. Mm. They had all the like the Italian ones and all the like
those
weird
big,
German and Russian ones that are you can't read them for shit.
That weird, they're full of the most amazing pictures you wouldn't see anywhere else.
You don't need to read pictures. You don't need to.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Oh. Yeah, we always get it. I mean, you don't get it for the articles.
No.
You don't.
Some of them don't really even have articles.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Some
if
of them,
they do, I just like.
Yes.
Even, or some of the design ones sure them. Don't. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's not why you buy them.
Speaking of design and like taking up, like women taking up spaces. I saw this clip from a TED Talk the other day. I don't know who it was. Couldn't tell you who
Sounds
it was.
Great. Yep. Love
he
it.
Was an architect, and he was talking about why you always see a lineup out, like going out of the women's washroom. There's always women
yes.
in line at the women's uh-huh. washroom, and there's never a line
for the,
really
guys.
For the men's.
Yeah.
And like looking at that as an example of just life, a thing that happens in life, but like
why
does that happen? And he goes on to say that like, I think 15, which might even be a higher estimate than it actually was, but 15% of architects are women mm-hmm. only. And even fewer than that are people of color.
Oh my God, absolutely.
So it's a bunch of, surprise, surprise, white dudes in charge of things.
White men.
I know.
Deciding how many toilets we get.
When are they ever going to get their day?
Oh,
who knows?
Man.
But anyway, it was about like seeing stuff around you and like sort of shifting gears of like this is a thing that like isn't
it's
necessarily a problem
issue.
Because
yeah.
we've just all learned to deal with it. But if there were
it's just life.
If there were female architects or if there was presumably a 50-50
split, some sort of split,
some kind of you know meaningful
more
average,
equitable
that those kind of problems would probably. Diminish
Stop
or
existing.
Shift
or you have
because
people
you'd
who
have people
are
in charge who
of,
have a different viewpoint.
Yeah, people who are disabled or people who
or
are differently abled.
What if these white male architects just, I don't know, start considering these
people
problems?
Different than themselves?
I
and
think also that could
needs?
Be helpful.
But how do you get that conversation man. Started if status quo has been successful for these guys for so long?
Kick them in the bum.
Yeah.
Step one.
You need
light a fire under their chair.
You need, you know, female photographers to get in there and shake things up. You need female architects to get in there and offer a different point
sure.
of view. You know,
and then you also need to support them.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And give them the opportunities
and
then
you
also promote them.
Need
and
to like physically in the world. Take up more space, which is actually what I've been doing, like not in an obnoxious way, but I kind of realized maybe honestly just 6 months to a year ago that I would move away. Like if I was walking down the street,
oh, for sure,
I would move.
In the aisle in the grocery store, you step aside.
I
fuckers.
Literally like consciously did this thing where when I'm in public and I'm somewhere looking at fruit or choosing like where
whatever.
I am standing and someone is coming towards me, I don't move.
Good call.
Wow, that's
and like
really
and in
small,
other
really
contexts
powerful.
Too.
That's
yeah.
Great.
I had this Yeah, I just had this weird thing happen at the hardware store where I was buying paint. And I was talking to the cashier, like, about something on the receipt and standing where I was supposed to be standing when you're purchasing something.
When it's your turn to purchase your items?
Yeah, and a guy comes up, and instead of standing in, like, a line behind me, he stands in between me and the cashier.
Ooh.
Like, in my personal bubble, and I was, like, really... at first confused because yeah. like no one
now
stands
what do I
there.
Do yeah
like and also just like it's not a place where people stand and I like stopped talking to her and I looked at him and I was like are you like trying to get me to leave because you want to pay for your items? He's like, yes, and I'm in a hurry.
You're like, and well, I'm just getting started.
I don't have anywhere to be until 2 o'clock, so.
And I just looked at him and I was like, that's really rude. And then I continued my conversation.
Sure.
And then I left because it was 10 more seconds of a conversation.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you needed.
That you needed.
I was just actually appalled that he was just so like in my personal space when I was like giving someone like a cashier money and like we were having a conversation.
Yeah, it was your turn.
It was just very strange. I was like, why is he standing like on my toes?
See, this is the situation, dudes, four dudes, maybe five dudes now who listen to this podcast. Yeah. When you see your friend doing that or when you see yourself doing that, just take that 2 seconds and be like, hey, what the fuck?
Wait, your turn in line.
Am I a total dick?
Yeah, that's what am I doing?
Maybe you are.
One of my favorite things on the bus is to sit next to a man spreader.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
I love it. Empty
fun.
Bus. Oh, fucker, I'm going to sit next to you. And I'm not going to take up more space than I need. I'm going to put my purse on my
lap. Yeah, it's...
But I'm going to make you move the fuck over.
That's what it is. It's not that I'm, like, actually being obnoxious about taking up space.
No, not
just,
at all.
I'm just being, like, it. A person.
A purposeful.
And not, like, crouching away from people and, like... moving my arm so that someone can get by.
Not
if they
want
to ask me
yeah.
to, like, excuse me, can you please move so I can get by?
Yeah.
Then I'll move.
Yeah.
But or I'm somebody's, not just going to assume.
I've had it happen a couple times, and I think both times it was guys who were completely oblivious that they were doing it, which does not excuse it. In fact, almost makes it worse because it's just
ingrained in you
that it's fine. Yeah. I've literally said, can you step back? Like, because they're standing next to me in line
need to do that.
Behind me. And I'm just like, you've touched me 3 times now. You were too close.
And they don't even
whatever the hanger you're hanging on to is touching me. Can I get you to move back?
Can you just fuck off?
Can you just fuck off real quick? Yeah.
I mean, you just go ahead and just fuck right off. But it just makes me think of all the times where I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I
didn't.
Or
you didn't
before
do anything about
year,
it, you know?
Because you're just raised like
that. Yeah, you just don't.
Society has
don't rock the boat.
Taught us that.
Oh, that's good.
Anyways.
You guys
you'll
were getting there.
You'll never find me manspreading because I'm femme and I cross my legs.
Thank you. Be like Evan. We need more Evan.
Be dainty as fuck.
Just hold
true.
Your bag on your
classy,
lap.
Classy.
Like an elderly lady.
Like the queen holds her
like the queen holds her bag when she's at Ascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the bros listening, just pull your legs together.
Oh, man. Cross it's just such a fundamental chair. Difference between...
But it's not comfortable to put your legs together.
Well, you just gotta make sure that you're
we're
getting
all riding
all your
the bus. No one's
not
comfortable.
Lodged between
okay?
your thighs. Like it's not that fucking hard. You know, it's like you've had your bits since
wear
you're...
a bra for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
See how comfortable that is.
I talk about this with my
fucker.
Husband all the time. My favorite thing at the end of the day is that's the first thing that comes off. I'm really good at taking off without taking any clothes off. Just take the bra off.
Yeah.
And give yourself a little scratch, a little titty scratch.
Lift them up a little bit.
Well, you should just wear sports bras.
I barely wear bras at all anymore.
Sports bras are pretty comfortable.
They're pretty thin.
Pretty
yeah.
Good.
I don't do a lot of underwires anymore. But anyway, that's like my number one favorite thing. And Chris always makes fun. He's like, you are so weird. Like, that is so weird.
No.
And I was like, you want to wear this fucking thing just at the tightest part, just under your titties for 8 straight hours? He's like, no. And I'm like, well, then.
Exactly.
And this one band is actually supporting these two lumps.
Yeah. Huge, heavy ones.
Yeah, heavy.
Yeah. That are hot, sweaty, and weird, and jangly, and floppy, depending on your situation. And
I forget which company it was. There was some company, shipping company? No, not a shipping company. I forget what, like a bra company, who their CEO made all the guys in the company wear like 2 5-pound weights
on their chest,
or 2-pound weights, right. Like whatever it was, like had these weights strapped on them like a bra for like an 8-hour shift, just to see what it feels
that's
like.
Amazing.
And like guys are like resting their boobs on their counter and on their desk and stuff. And I was like, yes,
themselves a break.
Yes, it was awesome. That's it was amazing. Like such a genius, like thinking outside for you know for other people, other
experiences,
other experiences. Yeah. it was pretty great. And everyone's like, cool. How the fuck do you guys walk around with these? We're like
I don't know. I don't have a choice. This is what I'm working with.
And yet, CBC also needs to apologize because some girl's nipple came out
accidentally.
Boy, oy, oy.
It's not like she did it on purpose.
I mean, we still don't know.
Also,
I mean, that's more power to her if she did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
why not?
True.
Slip it out
she
there.
She can if she wants.
Mm. We literally all have two. Everyone in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, not everyone.
Some people.
I guess maybe
three.
Some people
we all
three.
Started out with them.
Yeah. We all start with them.
Are you talking about tits or just?
Just nips.
Nips.
Okay.
Just nips in general.
Nips.
You guys, I
getting
think we're solving feminism real hard right now.
World issues.
We're doing important
world
issues.
Get to the bottom. The colonial concept of a bra.
Yeah. But it's fucking freezing in here, so I have to go put on a sweater and then let's come back and obsess.
Yeah.
Let's
do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Ooh.
And we're back.
We're back. We're back. We're back.
Back. We've all had a break. Now we're back. Talk about things we can't stop thinking about. I still can't stop watching that guy's makeup videos. Person's makeup videos. John McClane. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Still obsessed. Still interested.
Yeah, he's
captivating
pretty
music.
Amazing.
Makeup videos. But that's not my obsession this week. I might as well just roll with that. My obsession is this fucking egg sweatshirt that I'm wearing.
It arrived!
Silly. And I love it. And every time I wear it, I get compliments. It's the best.
When did it arrive?
Before Christmas. No.
Oh.
No, I got it when I got back from Christmas. So I haven't had a chance to talk about it, but I have been wearing it a lot. I mentioned
when
a few
did we
weeks ago.
Yeah, which episode we talked about? I can't remember.
It was a while ago. It's this web cartoonist. Her name's, I'm going to say, I don't know. I've only ever read her name. Dami Lee, D-A-M-I. Korean-American girl. Woman. I just love her so much. I love her. I love her work. She's very silly, very self-deprecating, very weird. It's very great. And she draws herself in all her cartoons. And she
so
draws,
she's in the egg right now.
No, she's wearing this sweater in all of her cartoons.
I thought she was like self-portrait, like everything was a self-portrait. I thought that's what
no.
you meant. Like she draws herself in her work.
She does. Like
she
draws
probably
comics.
Is in the egg.
Maybe.
Her spirit is.
Probably, her spirit.
Yeah, she's probably in the egg.
Yes. It's her Patronus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, she has, like,
she draws
you know,
herself in all her cartoons
oh,
and she's
so
wearing
she is
this egg
wearing
shirt.
The egg shirt.
Yes.
I'm looking at a cartoon of, yes, a girl wearing the same shirt that Abby's wearing right now, but in a cartoon form.
With a fried egg on the front.
It's very meta. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm and really into that.
She loves it. Her Instagram feed is full of her eating eggs in various forms. So she's, like, she's fully committed to
it. I'm obsessed with eggs.
I love them. They're so good.
I'm really happy we're talking about eggs, but also they're just such a nice shape.
They're beautiful.
And you can buy decorative eggs. I have decorative eggs.
There's some beautiful stuff happening with eggs. Stone eggs.
I just
eggs.
Photographed them.
Ukrainian
really?
Easter
yes.
eggs. I said I saw some on your, you had little.
Yeah, because I just used them in the still life shoot I did with a metal fabricator.
Oh, cool.
They're strange and beautiful.
They're so good.
I have a thing.
Free range, free run.
Beautiful.
There's lots of different kinds.
Yes.
Brown, large, extra large, medium, white.
Brown,
or brown
egg. Get those little bumps on them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like they're not perfectly smooth.
Quail eggs. Nice
double cheese. Yolk.
Oh!
Do you remember those? Do those still exist?
I don't know. I don't think I ever had one.
I don't think I ever got
Excuse
one,
me?
But I heard of them.
Was
no,
that like
it
a
was a
GMO
big
situation?
Thing. Probably. Yeah. Honestly, my mom would make us breakfast and she would crack the egg and be like, double yolk. But like, I think there was a time where you could actually like
more
buy the double yolk. And like, she would do it because she would be so excited that we were so excited. Buy it. But I think it happened so she would get so excited every time, but it would happen too often.
Maybe she just draws them. Are they on
no,
a vision
no, no.
board?
I saw the egg crack every
Interesting.
Time. We would stand over
time. I've never had one or seen that.
I used to get excited with the double shreddy.
You get a double shreddy. That's
two strikes together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or the double mini wheat. Now
yes.
You're
yes, yes, yes.
Now
with
you're
the,
talking.
With the frosting facing out on both sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, mini wheats are so
win.
Good.
That's a win.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a big win. But also,
I'm gonna go buy some mini wheats.
Yeah. I have some upstairs. They're my favorite.
I might need to steal a bowl.
Okay, I'm gonna get a little handful on the way. Sometime. So anyway, this egg fucking egg shirt that I love so much. It's so silly.
It's so cute.
I was literally at like a play gym where like they just throw a bunch of toys out in a gymnasium and the kids go ape shit for 2 hours.
Oh, you brought your children?
This time I didn't. But I had a guy come like walk across the gym and said, "My wife and I love your shirt." And the wife's like waving from
so
the other
Abby,
side.
Would you say you feel really good in your egg shirt? Like when you walk around outside, you are standing up yes. taller and yeah. you're smiling more?
Absolutely.
Guys, everyone's yeah, an egg shirt.
It's a real thing.
Oh no, you went there. Yep. Anyway, I love it and I can't get enough of it. And it's like a really nice, like soft, like a new sweatshirt that's still all like soft on the inside.
Don't wash it.
And it's like oversized. Like I bought a large too, so it's nice and big. And it's like, it's a big sack with a fried egg on top.
I'm into
I
it.
Love it.
Sunny side
it.
Up.
Sunny side has a little shine on it, yeah. A little glimmer.
Is there other colors?
Nope.
Just pink.
Just pink.
I think that's the only color that shirt can be.
I was so, I remember, I mentioned it, I think, on the podcast when I talked about her the first time. I was so excited. I'm like, you can buy her shirt. Take my money.
She has a very good marketing plan. So she draws herself in these shirts and then she gets people hyped on the cartoons. And then she's like, ooh, real life. I'm making this in real life. And then everyone buys it. That's really good.
Laughing all the way to the bank. I'm sure she is.
That's really
there
smart.
Is a little bit of a meta throwback situation happening here because the... You on that episode, you mentioned another guy who has the pink shirt and he just put a fried egg
yes.
in a plastic bag.
And stapled it.
That is Adam Tots from Dear David.
No, it is?
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Yes. Yes.
Because he dressed up as her.
Yes.
For Halloween. Like he had a wig with like a little top knot
as this artist.
Cartoon artist. Yeah. And he literally fried an egg. Put it in a Ziploc bag, stapled it to to like a pink shirt and was Damie Lee for Halloween. I did not realize that was
yes.
him.
So if for all of our hags who are following along, go back, I think, 2 episodes. My obsession was this really spooky story about Dear David.
Too spooky.
So
too
spooky.
So spooky.
And it's this like Twitter story of this ghost.
This that's ongoing experience this guy has. He lives in New York.
Is he alive?
Yeah, he's
alive.
I don't know. I haven't updated.
I don't want to look.
Last I saw, he was still alive.
He's still posting on Instagram.
Okay, yes, he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started following on Instagram too.
You guys, we're all connected.
All it took was an egg shirt.
We're all connected.
I don't have an egg shirt.
I don't either.
But I like eggs. Okay.
I do like
you're on the egg train. That's good. That counts.
I haven't eaten any eggs in a while though.
Mm, now's your chance.
I had a really good quiche. I was telling you guys, my husband made a delicious quiche. We call it a quiche.
A quiche. Oh.
Because you're fun, Sam. Because we're stupid.
Oh, does anybody else have anything fun or stupid?
I have a fun about? Sort of stupid one.
Love it.
I know what yours is, and yours is a dark turn, so we're going to go with mine.
Keep on this positive vibe.
So I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I have had a pair of white frame sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
4 years. I think I got them in 2006.
Sounds about right.
They're the best. They fit just exactly right. They're not too tight.
They look great.
I've had them forever. Every sunny summer picture of me is in these white sunglasses. It's a part of my brand, I feel like now.
It's on brand. Yes, absolutely.
And a couple of months ago, I dropped them and the frame snapped and broke at the bottom. I think it's sort of repairable, but not in
it'll
a nice
visible,
way.
It'd sure.
be
visible.
I'm so sad. So I have found another pair that I want to get. And after our whole licensing, our deep dive down into the licensing, I was like, I don't want to just buy a pair from somewhere. And I've always been in love with Varnay. My mom had a pair of Varnay sunglasses when I was a kid. They're the dopest.
Classic.
They're so fucking cool. She had a pair from like, I don't know, 1981 probably or 79 or something like that. And they were so rad. They were red. They had like a double bridge. They're super cool. They lasted forever.
Yep. And Varnays are made in France. Mm-hmm. Only Varnay makes them. They're like...
It's not some weird factory they've signed out to make a billion other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're really good quality. They last forever. So I want to get a pair. So I found this pair. They're the double O... They're the O2 style. They're like the classic Jean Varnay style with a white frame. And they have them at a store downtown. They're $290.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh.
But the lens that's in them... is this like greenish, it's called a Skylynx. It's a greenish lens that like makes you feel kind of drunk. Like they're a bit like crazy. Like I can't really.
So you can't really imagine
wearing
them.
Oh. But there's another place. I've done some serious digging. This is a legit obsession for the last few days. I did some serious digging and there's another couple of stores in Vancouver that carry Varnay, which is new. They didn't used to for a long time. But right up the street from me, is an optometry store and sunglasses store.
Oh,
and they carry them.
Interesting.
So I went in there. I saw them on the Varnay website. I went in. I was like, hey, I'm looking for this thing. It's like kind
very of specific.
Yeah. And
I'm kind of a glasses nerd.
I'm like a podcaster. So it's like kind of
legit.
Really big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm looking for this frame. It's the O2 frame. And with this lens, it's called the Graylynx lens. And she's like, well, I don't have that in stock, but my rep is coming in next week, and we could probably, like, do a custom order. I was like,
custom Varnay.
The universe aligns.
Also, I'm like, I wrote her the email. She gave me her card. I was like, do you have a card that I can, like, email you and follow up?
Because,
I mean, it takes time to talk to your rep and, like,
get back blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So I've sent the email. Here's what I have. Here's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
I'm hoping it's not. I mean, I know it'll be so much money, but.
No, but think about this. When did you buy your last?
Yeah, price per wear.
I mean, it's still a big. That was what? 2006? That was 11. So that's fine. You can spend $300 and have them for another 11 years.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's okay. You should feel good about that.
I know.
That's actually really good value.
I know. It's incredibly good value. This is another reason that I wanted to get Varnays.
You're not going to talk to three fashion girls and get us
and get talked out of this. It's not happening. Well, speaking of, I did talk to three fashion girls. Last week, I was like, is it? I sent you and you
and
Madison. A text. I was like, I'm looking at these white glasses. Is it douchey to wear white glasses? And we had a whole conversation about if you're a dude,
yes,
it might be a douchey.
Probably.
It's probably douchey.
Yeah.
But for a lady, no, I think you're okay. And I was like, good, because I've been wearing white glasses.
It also depends on the frame shape.
Yes, I agree.
I think that is the most important.
Yeah, we're not talking Oakley's.
Right, yeah, that's what,
yeah.
No, the ones you had before garbage. Are like, real, like, big and round on the bottom with a tiny
cat eye. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
But like a real bottom-heavy cat eye.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I will...
She's you guys super posted. Cute.
I've been trying to rationalize...
Knock on wood for you.
$290. I think
it's a check of change.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
but
a lot
it's
of money.
Over 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah, maybe even longer if it doesn't. If they don't
I know. That's what I'm hoping. I'll buy them once and I will
well,
have them.
Well, exactly. That's the thing
years.
About spending more money on something is that you're more more informed about your choice.
Yeah.
Like you said, you've done all this research.
Yeah.
You're probably going to like the thing more than you just go to fucking H&M or whatever
well,
and buy
you
a $12
for sure
pair.
Will like the thing more.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I already know.
Unless you're some rich fuck who you can just buy whatever
well,
you want.
And also, your eyes are really important. Like, actually, all jokes aside, absolutely. Your eyes are really important. And so you should spend a lot of money on
and make sure
something that protects your eyes from the sun.
Yeah.
Those but white.
And I wear them all the time. And the lenses are... Anyway, I've done a lot.
She knows what she's talking about.
I'm just really excited. If they can get them, it would be like the greatest.
It's a good time of year to get them because you're getting a lot of sunny times coming up, too, potentially.
Hopefully.
Yeah. For everybody... Does the job?
Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
That's exciting.
I'll let you guys know.
There you go. See this obsession pans out.
Evan, what's up with you?
We're going to take a turn down psychological thriller lane.
Oh, boy.
A couple of weeks ago, I went and saw Phantom Thread, the new movie, the new Paul Thomas Anderson flick.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes. And it was sufficiently creepy. Very,
doesn't look
very
like it's
creepy.
Gonna be so
no, it
creepy.
Does not from the trailer. This is very exciting.
It's like a bit Hitchcock.
I couldn't imagine him doing a movie that would be like just a basic
like a puff piece.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that. But I was also like, what the fuck is the deal with this movie? Yeah. I'm not getting any information from this trailer. It's very frustrating.
That's the point.
Yeah.
It's like the whole movie
but
is like.
I want to see it. So it's doing its job.
It's like centered around the couturier. They're in London, so they're all English. And it's just like that really like staunch Britishness.
Yes.
That's like really uncomfortable to watch sometimes. Like, because
It's so held
it's
in.
So, like,
it's
everyone's so tense and like you say a lot without saying a lot to somebody. And like it's all very menacing and like very white. Like, just a lot of like white people arguing but not arguing, which
a lot
is
of
even
waspy,
more tense.
Yes, very waspy. Saying what you want. And yes, absolutely.
But it's like the it centers around this artist and how like all the people around him really just like coddle him and like make his life better and like
easy he, like, or whatever.
He needs to be silent between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. and like 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. so that he can like work and he can sketch and all this stuff.
Yes.
And then the relationship between him and his sister, who's like his business partner, it's very like she is like his mother and his wife
and his sister
all in one person. Yeah. And it's really creepy. And then he has like this rotating door of muses and models and women that kind of like fill this role, but then he meets his match and this girl like really falls in love with him and it gets really weird and like psychological and everyone's like, and then there's like weird moments where there's like scissors on the table and then there's like
what's gonna happen,
she's like really well versed in poison and like all this stuff and it's just like but like the clothes are pretty, the photography is beautiful.
Yeah,
the sets are beautiful.
He got nominated for an Oscar, right?
Yeah. But it's just like the ride is kind of like really tense.
Ooh, boy.
And the score is very tense. It's very like psychological thriller, like old school 1940s like score.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite,
awesome.
Top five favorite movies is There Will Be Blood, which is another Paul Thomas Anderson, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
And the music is insane,
unreal.
And amazing.
Unreal.
So if it's
anything like that,
I'm on board. Yeah. I'm already in. That sounds awesome.
I have done.
My son.
Oh,
it is so good.
Beautiful.
Good one.
Yeah, I can't tell you any more than that because it's just like it all unfolds in front of you.
Yeah, no spoilers.
And you're kind of just like agape. You're just like, that's the end. It's like one of those moments where you're just like, shit. Yeah.
Okay, say no more. I want to see it.
I will not say anything
Yes.
else.
I'm excited.
I'll be watching that. In 18 months when it's on
when I get in
stream. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, whenever it comes out.
That's the one I'm going to see eventually, for sure. Black Panther, for sure, for sure. And then we'll get to that one,
yeah. I saw one movie in the theater last year. It was Wonder Woman. No regrets.
Oh, yeah, me too. I saw that in theaters.
And I saw Star Wars already this year, but now I want to see, this is going to be a good year. 2018 is going to be, I might see two movies. Not just what's available on Netflix.
Off to a really good start.
Doing great, guys.
Yeah. Lauren, do you have an obsession?
I have lots of obsessions. Some are ongoing that I'm pretty sure I'll just be obsessed with forever.
That's fair. That's kind.
So do you want one of those or do you want like a current?
I don't know. Whatever's knocking around. Whatever.
I'll just talk about the one that popped into my head when I first got here and you were like, oh, we do this obsession part.
Yeah.
And I was like, skateboarding, skateboarders, skate videos, skate photos, skate like style and all of that.
Yes.
I don't know how to skateboard. Although if you give me a skateboard, I like will, you know, do a little thing
on it. Do a little
and
dance.
I'm fine. Yeah. Like I've never bailed actually. But, you know, I go like 5 meters and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been my goal to learn how to skateboard. But at this point in my life, I really don't want to like have a broken leg for 6 weeks and not be able to work and things like that. So I can't. So that's what I'm telling myself that I can't learn how to skateboard now. Like that time has passed.
You could get a longboard though.
No. we actually do have a longboard at my studio. Yeah, but like it's way harder. Like I'm actually really good on a longboard.
Sweet.
So easy. Not really good, but like so comfortable. Yeah. We have one at my studio and I just kind of like roll around on it sometimes. I broke a door once. Like, I just can't stop. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm on a skateboard or a longboard, like, I'm great. And I can actually, like, turn and, like push. And I just can't stop. So that's, I think that's a big problem, though.
That's, yeah, stopping
that's,
is
that's like, potential for problems.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but you can still anyways, like all the stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Where should I start? Skateboarders.
Go
I've
for
always
it.
Kind of like had a crush on a skateboarder at all points in
sure.
my life.
Mm-hmm.
My current boyfriend. Your married one. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that'll happen. Yeah. They're just so cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you find like a non-shitty one, you're like, whoa.
They exist?
I'm not going to let you go ever.
Yeah.
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 So that's my current boyfriend.
Ah, like that's
the most non-shitty skateboarder ever.
No offense to all of the shitty skateboarders.
No,
though,
like offense. Like offense.
Also, like also offense. Also, no, get like your shit together.
Get your shit together. Yeah. Get a job.
I really like the, I think the thing I like most about skateboarding is that it's so punk.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
it's it was just literally so
a just by definition, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So I think that's why I'm most attracted to the whole culture is because it's just, it's always been, and like the founding principles of skateboarding is like, I think like a big fuck you to every other sport or activity and just like do what you want and do it how you want.
Yep. And when and like where that. And whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And break rules and be passionate. Like every skateboarder I've ever met is like so passionate about something, whether it's like skateboarding or smoking weed or like hooking up with girls, like whatever it is, they're just so into it. So I think that's probably good. And I love the style, and I love how fashion has really worked, like fashion on a larger scale has really worked its way into skateboarding and vice versa. I think that skateboarders have definitely set trends for kind of the rest of, or not the rest of culture, but it's definitely influenced other aspects. And
can I give you a recommendation?
Look at all the street style stuff happening, or like the athleisure stuff. Yeah. And
I basically just wake up every day and I'm like, how can I look like a skateboarder? Like a guy.
What can
a guy
I do?
Skateboarder. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I give you a recommendation that I think you'll like?
Please.
Back in 1977, between 1977 and 1980 or so, I'm not sure exactly, there's this female skater named Cynthia Whitehead.
I've probably seen a picture of her.
And there's a series, I have them on my blog from, I don't know, a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that post.
Cynthia Whitehead Skate. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you a link for these pictures, and I'll put it on the blog. But she's like the ultimate lady badass pool skater with like the short shorts and the high
tall socks,
sure. And the like, you know, huge headphones and the head like, and it was like her and like two other ladies and 800 dudes,
of course,
Southern California,
like it still is,
yeah. And so rad. She's just like the super, and these amazing photos of this like session that they did in Southern California and probably in Venice, and I'll send you them. They're fucking rad, and we'll put a link up on, because it was like, I saw these, I forget where I even found them, but I was like, oh my god, this is like
amazing.
This is my summer, this is what I want my summer to look like.
Yeah,
so good.
Punk.
Yeah.
See?
Super punk.
Yeah. Very and cool. I think just being like, I've always lived on the West Coast, so it's literally just being around me forever.
All the time. Yeah.
I don't know. I like how it's kind of such a part of the West Coast culture.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love, I'm also obsessed with California. Like, obsessed. So it's kind of all links.
It all fits together.
Yeah. So, skateboarding.
I like it.
Very cool.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I know, and just coming up on the sun coming out. Summertime again.
Summertime, skateboarding.
Yes. It's time.
Cool clothes, pictures.
Yep.
Beach.
Sunlight, sand.
Yep. Beers.
We'll get there. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Matter of time.
Speaking of matter of time, I think we're at our time.
Yes, I think we've reached
probably
the end.
Time.
Sounds good. Well, absolutely. We're right on time.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Great.
Yeah, it was super fun.
I hope you're not completely frozen to death. Like I am.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm bundled. I have my full parka.
I have a scarf wrapped around me. I gotta get a pair of like
like snuggly bootied slippers things to keep me warm. I have like sheepskin ones at home. I should just leave them in my bag and bring them over here.
Bring wherever you go.
Yeah. But anyway, or Dave just turned the heat up. That's why.
Yeah, come on, Dave.
I got to wear the most amazing bearskin gloves for our performance.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Wow.
For the first act, I wore these gloves.
Beautiful.
With like my mesh shirt and the tightest jeans ever.
Oh. Were they stretchy?
What, the jeans?
Yeah.
No.
Ooh.
They're just really bold. Like really well fitted, and I had to jump
in
all this
stuff.
So you
can move in them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, if they blow the butt out of these pants during my performance, I'm screwed.
Another wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah,
just, you made me... Made me think about those gloves.
Nice.
I know y'all would love that.
Absolutely.
It was great.
Well, as per usual, you can find us in all the usual places. We're Fashion Hags Podcast on Instagram, Fashion Hags Pod on Twitter. You can shoot us an email.
Fashion Hags at Gmail.
We love getting real emails that aren't just like, check out our SEO, our marketing strategies. We get a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of
you
that.
You actually go on Fashion Hags. @gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. Great.
Like Blue no fog. Underscore 69.
No, no. No 420.
Okay, sweet.
No.
Yeah.
You can also like our Facebook page. You can like the website. I mean, do all the things.
We're the Fashion Hags, and we can find us.
Yeah.
We're doing
here.
Around.
We're Hags. Get used to it. That's how that goes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh,
in that vein.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
And we'll link up to all the stuff we talked about on the blog, and we'll link up to Lauren's Instagram, which is lovely.
Yeah, Lauren, what is your Instagram if you're interested in?
What do you want to plug?
Out?
Oh, world peace.
Yes.
Feminism. You can find me on Instagram at LDZBAR. There you go.
Awesome.
And then you can find all the other things and
go from
other
there.
Cool people and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it, you guys. So thanks for listening, all you people. And remember that we really do love you.
But we love fashion more.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.